app.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is going to be part of two new hydrogen hubs that backers say will generate clean fuel, but some groups working to fight climate change say they have their misgivings. Suzanne Potter reports.
The feds just announced $7 billion in funding to produce hydrogen, which is used in hard-to-decarbonize sectors like aviation fuel, steel and glass production, power generation, refining, and heavy-duty transportation. However, as Patrick Drupp with the Sierra Club warns, the devil is in the details.
And if it's done correctly, maybe we can create some truly clean hydrogen to decarbonize. And if it's done wrong, we have a chance to actually further fuel the climate crisis. So we're really at a critical point right now.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
Republican state lawmakers want to require a two-thirds majority in both houses of the legislature to raise state income and sales taxes. A proposed constitutional amendment got a hearing before a state Senate committee yesterday. Senator Dan Knodel says the bill creating Wisconsin's current top tax bracket passed in 2009 by a total of just 3 votes.
We continue to live with the consequences of that razor-thin vote in the form of the second-highest marginal income tax rate in the Midwest.
Knodel says Wisconsin should set the bar high for tax hikes. 16 states require supermajorities to raise taxes. Lawmakers are turning their attention to Republican solutions to Wisconsin's child care crisis. Nate Wegehout reports now on a hearing on several bills yesterday.
The Republican-authored bills largely look to reduce regulation in the child care industry and allow more kids to be watched by fewer workers. Critics of the bill say that not only will deregulation make it more dangerous for children, but it could also lead to more burnout for child care workers. Reagan Shapiro is a legislative advisor for the Department of Children and Families.
Solving the child care shortage is going to require more than an increase in access by passing the current legislation that's being considered by this committee today.
Earlier this week, Governor Evers approved a measure to send $170 million federal dollars to child care centers in Wisconsin until June of 2025. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
A team from the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee is in Oshkosh trying to learn more about an ancient Native American village discovered during a road construction project. The village likely dates back to 900 and 1600 AD. City officials say it's the biggest discovery of artifacts ever in the area. City is also working with the leaders of the Menominee and Ho-Chunk Nations. Oshkosh leaders say they'd prefer to keep the site undisturbed, so they may change plans for the road. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin State Senate passed a bill on Tuesday to force state wildlife managers to set a firm numeric goal for the state's wolf population. Prior to the introduction of the bill, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources refused to implement a hard goal, arguing that not implementing a population limit would give them more flexibility in addressing wolf population concerns. The bill, which calls for a statewide population limit of 350 animals, will now head to the State Assembly. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has received nearly $17 million in federal funding to enhance operations of the 988 Wisconsin Lifeline. The service answers calls, texts, and chats to the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline program. The additional funding will build the 988 Wisconsin Lifeline workforce, strengthen connections between the service, 911 centers, and county programs, and raise awareness of the service through statewide advertising and outreach efforts. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Badgers women's volleyball team wins again. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Last night in Madison, the Badgers women's volleyball team beat Ohio State in 3 straight sets. Wisconsin remains undefeated. Up next, their toughest opponent yet. Number 2 ranked Nebraska. The Cornhuskers beat Northwestern last night in 3 straight sets. Badgers volleyball head coach Kelly Sheffield.
Nebraska will, you know, it's been a much anticipated match, I'm sure, for a lot of people that follow. And it'll probably be one of the higher watch matches.
The match is set for Saturday night, 7 o'clock in Lincoln, Nebraska. Baseball. The Astros got an 8-5 win over the Rangers in Arlington. That series now 2-1 in favor of the Rangers in the American League. The Diamondbacks host the Phillies tonight in Arizona. The Phillies with a 2-0 lead in the National League. College football. The Badgers with a road game Saturday against head coach Brett Bielema and the Fighting Illini in Champaign. Braden Locke will start at quarterback for Wisconsin.
Yes, there is pressure, and yes, I want to win, and yes, I want to play well, and you know, I want to put these guys on my back and to take charge of this thing, but at the same time, you know, I just got to focus on doing my job, playing and play out, and getting the ball in the end zone.
Kickoff is Saturday at 2:30. NFL, Colts rookie quarterback Anthony Richardson will have season-ending shoulder surgery. Gardner Minshew will take over under center. The Colts saying they learned their lesson with Andrew Luck. Trevor Lawrence, questionable for tonight's Jaguars versus Saints game on Thursday Night Football. He's got a knee injury. Roger Goodell gets a 3-year extension as commissioner. He's 64 years old. The Packers had a long practice outdoors getting ready for Sunday's game in Denver. Once again, running back Aaron Jones is expected to play. He's been dealing with a hamstring injury, suffered week one against the Bears. I asked him, why was he ruled out for last week's game against the Raiders?
I had a little setback. I tweaked it a little bit on that Saturday. I was feeling good all week. But Coach LaFleur was like, I don't have a good feeling about this. You just tweaked it. I haven't seen you run full speed. Let's be smart.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Welcome into the Stu Daniels Show. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock now on this Thursday morning. It's the 19th day of October, and I'm your host, Stu Daniels. Hope you're having a good day so far. Come on in, grab a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, relax, and let's go over some news and a little bit of weather and sports, too. Hey, in the weather today, outside in La Crosse, going to be mostly cloudy with a chance of rain in the afternoon, high around 59 degrees. In Eau Claire today, cloudy skies, chance of rain in the afternoon, high around 58 degrees. In Richland Center, mostly cloudy, chance of rain in the afternoon, high around 60. In Amory, cloudy, slight chance of rain, high around 57. And in Hayward, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain and a high around 54 degrees. Hey, did you get to see that baseball game last night? Now, it was better than the one that we saw the night before, at least a little bit more competitive. And so far, did you notice that in the American League Championship Series, the visiting team has won all three games so far? Last night, the Astros beat the Rangers 8-5. The Rangers lead that series 2-1. And game four of that series is tonight in Arlington. Also tonight, game three of the NLCS in Phoenix. The Phillies lead that series 2-0 over the Diamondbacks. And in the news, headlines for you. A judge ruled yesterday that former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Pat Rogensack will not have to appear in court. Also, there is a public hearing today at the state capitol on bills that would require Wisconsin to draw new legislative maps. Yeah, finally. Also, a family of four bobcats has been spotted in Adams County, just north of Wisconsin Dells. And you probably know that President Biden visited Israel yesterday. And the first thing that I want to get to on this Thursday morning is the story about the hearings going on later today, the public hearing at the state capitol. And in fact, I believe that's going to start in about an hour. I have an editorial here from the Wisconsin State Journal, Madison.com.
And according to them, it says here, our view at long last, Fair Maps finally get a public hearing today. And this piece, this editorial piece, was just posted an hour ago at the Wisconsin State Journal. And it says here, it says, for more than a decade, the Wisconsin State Journal editorial board has been calling for a public hearing on Iowa's proven model for nonpartisan redistricting. Today, it's finally going to happen. Hallelujah. That's what it says. Iowa's process for Fair Maps has prevented both parties from gerrymandering for political advantage in that state. Instead, a nonpartisan state agency draws legislative maps to respect all voters and ensure fair representation, which is something that we haven't had in Wisconsin for quite a while, for several years. Excuse me. The Senate Committee on Shared Revenue, Elections, and Consumer Protection will take public testimony starting at 9 a.m. today at the state capitol. It says you can attend this meeting yourself, or you can watch it online. And there are two bills. There is an assembly bill called Assembly Bill 415, and also a Senate version, SB 488. The bill appears solid and much better than Wisconsin's current process of blatant partisan gerrymandering. It would require the nonpartisan Legislative Reference Bureau, the LRB, to be strictly nonpartisan in drawing voting districts for the Assembly and the Senate. The LRB could not favor any political party, any incumbent, any person or group, though it must comply with the Federal Voting Rights Act. It could not consider where incumbents live, the political affiliations of registered voters, or previous election results. The LRB would be required to draw contiguous and compact districts that follow municipal boundaries. As amended by the Assembly, AB 415 would no longer allow the politicians, and it would no longer allow the politicians to change the LRB maps for political reasons before approving them. And any final vote would require bipartisan support. All of that sounds good and even improves on the Iowa model in some ways. Yet, key questions must be fleshed out. The biggest one is, what happens if the legislature and the governor can't agree to pass the fair maps drawn by the LRB? Well, in Iowa, that state's high court would decide the question and have a couple of versions of nonpartisan maps to potentially pick. Under our assembly bill, Assembly Bill 415, it's not clear what would happen if the LRB's fair maps for Wisconsin aren't approved by a January 31st deadline. Presumably, the courts would have to get involved, though that's not spelled out. It should be. Neither the legislature nor the governor should be able to run out the clock to avoid a fair process. The bill also fails to assign the LRB to draw congressional voting districts, which is another flaw. Today's hearing should explore these questions and other questions. A nonpartisan expert from Iowa is set to testify. Sponsors and critics of the bill, as well as the general public, will get their say. We urge the governor to engage on the issue if he's serious about fair maps. He should negotiate with Republicans on a final nonpartisan bill. And it says the hearing, this hearing today, should be the beginning of the end to partisan gerrymandering in Wisconsin. The Iowa model, if done correctly, would respect voters of all stripes. And that's the opinion piece in the Wisconsin State Journal. posted today at Madison.com concerning these hearings that we have coming up in about 45 minutes, or at least starting in about 45 minutes at the state capitol. And it sounds like that would be a good start as far as making the maps more fair so that more people have representation in the state house, right? And you would think we would want to do that for congressional maps as well, so that we have representation in Washington. We got 15 minutes after 8 o'clock right now. One thing I want to get to before we go to the break is Halley's Comet. Or do you call it Halley's Comet? It's spelled like Halley's Comet, but I know that every time I've ever heard it talked about, it was always Halley's Comet. And in fact, if you only know about one comet, chances are it's this one, right? I remember hearing about Halley's Comet when I was a little kid, and that was a long time ago. Well, evidently it's coming back, and it's going to be here this weekend. So be ready. I have a story here from Forbes. It says Halley's Comet, last seen in 1986, will unleash shooting stars this weekend. And I'll give you a little bit of the story before we go to the break. It says they will appear, or I should say shooting stars, with their origin in the famous Halley's Comet will be visible in the night sky this weekend. They will appear to emanate from the constellation Orion, just above the famous Orion's belt of three bright stars, hence the name Orionid meteor shower. However, the Orionids are the result of dust and debris left in the inner solar system by Halley's Comet, the most famous short-period comet, and the only comet it's possible to see twice in one human lifetime. Shooting stars are caused by dust and debris from comets releasing energy as they strike Earth's atmosphere. The Orionids are actually one of two annual meteor showers caused by Halley's Comet, the other being April's meteor shower called Eta Aquarius, I believe is the pronunciation of that, and I may be wrong. Last seen in the inner solar system in 1986, when Halley's Comet, essentially a giant snowball of ice, rock, and dust, enters the inner solar system every 75 years. It slightly melts and leaves debris in its wake. That material drifts into Earth's orbital path around the sun, and that's why we have meteor showers. The giant comet will next return in the year 2061, with December this year seeing the halfway point in its journey, after which it will begin traveling back toward the inner solar system. And these Orionids are already active. They began on September 26th. They go through November 22nd, though the all-important peak is this Friday and Saturday, October 20th and 21st. So look up to the sky, see what you can see. 18 minutes after 8 o'clock, let's take a break. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events. Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, look for a chance of rain, especially this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies and a high near 59. For tonight, some fog and a low near 42. Friday, mostly sunny, 61 degrees. For Friday night, a few showers and mid-40s. Saturday, partly sunny and 56.
Currently, 46 degrees.
Peter Tosh, with some help from Mick Jagger, of course, right? I'm sure you recognize that voice. Peter Tosh, by the way, born on this date, October 19th in 1944. Hey, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 24 minutes after 8 o'clock right now. It is 51 degrees in La Crosse and 43 degrees in Richland Center. Hey, the next thing I want to get to is this story about Pat Rogensack, former justice of the Supreme Court in Wisconsin. And evidently, she will not have to testify now concerning Robin Voss consulting her about the possibility of impeaching the new justice on the court. And I have a story here from the Associated Press, APnews.com. It says, former Wisconsin Supreme Court justice won't appear in court over impeachment advice. This piece was posted late yesterday afternoon by Scott Bauer at the AP. Dateline Madison, it says, a former Wisconsin Supreme Court justice who fought a subpoena ordering her to appear in court in a lawsuit related to advice she gave about possible impeachment of a current liberal justice will not have to provide testimony, a judge ruled yesterday. Dane County Circuit Judge Frank Remington decided against holding a hearing where evidence would be taken from the former justice and others. Instead, the judge, Remington, told attorneys he will first hear arguments on whether the lawsuit alleging open meetings violations should be dismissed. That hearing will take place on Thursday. That's today, right? Yes, it is. Republican lawmakers have threatened possible impeachment of current Justice Janet Protasiewicz related to comments she made during the campaign calling Republican-drawn legislative maps rigged and unfair. She joined with the liberal majority of the court in agreeing to hear a lawsuit supported by Democrats that seeks to overturn the Republican maps and enact new ones. Wisconsin Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss asked three former conservative Supreme Court justices for advice on impeachment. Two of the three told him that impeaching Protasiewicz was not warranted. The third judge, former Chief Justice Patience Rogensack, has not said what her advice was, and Voss has repeatedly refused to disclose it. All three of the former justices have said they met only once and each acted independently. They have denied that they constitute a governmental body subject to Wisconsin's open meetings law, but the liberal watchdog group American Oversight filed a lawsuit alleging that the three former justices had violated both the state open meetings law and the open records laws. American Oversight wants the judge to order the former justices to meet in public and to release records related to their work. It was also seeking attorney's fees. So maybe we'll find out more about that later today. It's 28 minutes after 8 o'clock. Got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned into your local Civic Media radio station.
CBS News Brief, a day after the president's trip to Israel and assurances of humanitarian supply deliveries to Palestinians trapped in Gaza, the Egyptian food bank's Mohsen Sarhan says,
we've been listening to the reports, of course, yesterday when President Biden spoke that Egypt would allow aid in. We're not sure of the logistics of that and where we will be dropping the aid in Gaza, how it would reach the people.
Israel continues airstrikes across Gaza. Another U.S. reporter has been detained in Russia. CBS's Vicky Barker.
The Prague-based journalist had flown to Russia for a family emergency in May. Her Russian and American passports were confiscated when she tried to fly home again in early June.
Some Republicans who don't support Jim Jordan for House Speaker say they've gotten threats. CBS's Nicole Killians on Capitol Hill.
New York's Nick LaLota, who hasn't backed Jordan, shared a threat he received, telling him to go F himself and die.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin State Senate this week approved a bill banning gender-affirming care for trans minors. Now passed by both the Assembly and Senate, the bill will head to Governor Tony Evers, who has already promised to veto the measure and any other anti-LGBTQ plus legislation. A coalition of healthcare groups also spoke against the bill, saying, quote, "Removing the ability for youth and their families to access this affirming care in Wisconsin will negatively impact these young people's well-being." Former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Patience Rogensack is fighting a subpoena to appear in court regarding advice she provided Assembly Speaker Robin Voss on the potential impeachment of newly elected Justice Janet Protasiewicz. According to an Associated Press report, former Justice Rogensack called the subpoena unreasonable and oppressive. Both she and Assembly Speaker Voss have refused to disclose what the advice that she provided was. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the
sighs, the lonesome organ grinder cries, the silver saxophones say I should refuse you. The cracked bells and washed out horns blow into my face with scorn, but it's not that way, I wasn't born to lose you. I want you, I want you, I want you so bad. Honey, I want you. A drunken politician leaps upon the street where mothers weep, and the saviors who are fast asleep, they wait for you. And I wait for them to interrupt me drinking from my broken cup and ask me to open up the gate for you. I want you, I want you, yes, I want you so bad. They've gone down, true love, they've been without it. But all their daughters put me trades and talk with my chambermaid. She knows it, she's not afraid to look at him. She is good to me and there's nothing she doesn't see. She knows where I'd like to be, but it doesn't matter. I want you, I want you, yes, I want you so bad. Honey, I want you. Now your dancing child with his Chinese suit, he spoke to me, I took his flute. No, I wasn't that cute to him, was I? But I did it because he lied and because he took you for a ride. Because time is on his side and because I want you. I want you. Yes, I want you so bad. Honey, I want you.
Yes, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Music from Bob Dylan, going back to the Blonde on Blonde album. 8:36 right now, and if you are a Bob Dylan fan, you may have been following his trek around the Midwest over the past week and a half or so. And according to the reviews of the shows that I've been reading from the local newspapers in the towns where Dylan is performing, man, this is quite a tour. And evidently, Dylan's putting on some great shows, and he's having a great time. I know that in several of the reviews that I've read over the past week and a half or so, many of the journalists writing the reviews have said how much he seems to be enjoying himself, smiling, laughing, even dancing a little bit. Yeah, you never thought you'd see the day, right? Hey, anyway, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We've got 47 degrees in Eau Claire right now and 49 degrees in Amory, 837. And by the way, if you have an opinion on anything we're discussing today, feel free to call in. I'd like to hear what you have to say. The phone number is 715-388-7155. Hey, the next thing I want to get to is the big story in Washington. You've probably been hearing or following the fact that the Republicans who are in control of the House of Representatives cannot get their stuff together enough to vote in a new Speaker of the House. They decided to get rid of Kevin McCarthy, and now they don't know where to go. I have a story here from the HuffPost. This was posted, this morning. Says House Republicans, or I should say House Republican, makes a brutal prediction about Jim Jordan's speaker bid. And it says here, Representative Don Bacon, who is a Republican from Nebraska, predicted that Jim Jordan of Ohio will lose more votes on the next House Speaker ballot and said it's time for him to throw in the towel. You know, they've already had two votes, right? One yesterday, and I think the day before. And in the first vote, Jordan lost 20 of his Republican colleagues. And then yesterday, in the second vote, he lost even more. I think it was 22 that did not vote for him. And here's a quote from Don Bacon, Republican from Nebraska. He said, "I believe he's done. He needs to withdraw from this," Bacon told CNN's Jake Tapper on Wednesday. "He's going to lose more votes tomorrow. I know it," meaning in today's third vote. Bacon said Jordan, quote, "doesn't have any pathway forward to 217 votes, the figure he needs to secure the gavel." Jordan has lost two ballots so far. On Tuesday, 20 Republicans voted against him, and that number grew to 22 on Wednesday's vote. In a separate interview on Fox News, Bacon said he was confident Jordan would lose five or six more votes on the next ballot. Bacon voted for Representative Kevin McCarthy, who was ousted as speaker earlier this month, both times. In other words, yesterday and the day before, Bacon, this guy from Alabama, voted for McCarthy, the former speaker. On Wednesday, Bacon said his wife received multiple anonymous text messages warning him he'd better vote for Jordan. Other Republicans also reported that they were targets of threats and intimidation tactics by Jordan allies and supporters, which appeared to backfire on the Ohio congressman. And by the way, we should mention that Jordan allies and supporters are also Trump allies and supporters. That's why they want their guy, Jim Jordan, in there, a guy who was instrumental in the insurrection on January 6th, 2021. Another vote is expected to happen today. With the chamber still frozen, support is growing to expand the powers of the Speaker pro tem, Patrick McHenry, to act as a temporary speaker. And Bacon said he would back that. He said, "I support giving Patrick McHenry, the Speaker pro tem, more responsibilities and authorities. We could give him authorities for budget, the border, Ukraine, Israel. We can do that, but it's going to take legislation to do so," he said. So that's what's going on right now, at least. It looks like the House will get together for a third vote today, but it doesn't look like Jim Jordan's going to win that one. In fact, it looks like he'll probably lose even more Republicans than he had lost previously. So it doesn't look like that's going anywhere. So what's going to happen next? Yeah, your guess is as good as mine. Anyway, let's get to another story about the former president of the United States. And this is a piece from Raw Story. It says here that Trump supporters, or I should say a Trump supporter, says let him be president from jail or risk a third world war. That's what a Trump supporter is predicting. This piece was just posted a few minutes ago at Raw Story. It says here that the prospect that Donald Trump could be in jail, or at least headed that way, when the 2024 election rolls around, is not giving some of his supporters pause, reports NBC News. In interviews, supporters of the former president, who is facing 91 felony charges in four different jurisdictions, as well as a handful of civil suits, seems to be under the impression that he can win the 2024 election as well as serve as the nation's commander-in-chief from a jail cell, with one fan admitting, quote, "It would be kind of fun to see, actually. I know that sounds crazy," end quote. The former president could end up in a jail cell in Georgia if convicted on racketeering charges, or a federal prison for obstruction of justice. And some of his supporters would blink an eye, as NBC's Jake Taylor wrote. And it says here, Arizona Trump supporter Dana Duke suggested, for instance, that, quote, "If he's convicted and he wins, put the Oval Office in whatever prison they have him in," end quote. Republican Vicky Scott claimed there was nothing that would keep her from voting for Trump again, and issued a veiled threat based on her belief that the 2020 election was stolen from Trump. She said, quote, "He can still run for president if he's behind bars, and he would still get the same amount of votes. Keep him tied up all next year, and we're still going to vote for him. And I'll tell you what, if it gets stolen again, it might be a third world war," end quote. Speaking from experience, former Republican lawmaker Jeff Smith of Missouri, who served time in jail for lying to federal authorities about illegal campaign activities, was a tad more realistic about the effectiveness of a jailed president. He said, quote, "I mean, you can't have a phone in prison, so I don't know how you serve as president of the United States. A president who can't go to the site of a national disaster, a president who can't take overseas trips, a president who is so limited in terms of the traditional symbolic presidency, end quote. Noted historian Douglas Brinkley claimed it was possible, but problematic. He said, quote, it is plausible this could happen. We're not just talking pie in the sky. The White House apparatus would be moved into a jail cell, and he would probably govern via his lawyer, who would be his chief of staff. Is that where we are heading now? With the, I don't know, it's hard to even imagine that Donald Trump could win at this point. But if you look at the polls, he's right there, right? I mean, anything could happen. The fact that he was elected once is enough to prove that point. It's 8:45 right now. Let's take a break. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events. Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, look for a chance of rain, especially this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies and a high near 59. For tonight, some fog and a low near 42. Friday, mostly sunny, 61 degrees. For Friday night, a few showers and mid-40s. Saturday, partly sunny and 56.
Currently, 46 degrees.
Coming in hot, hot, hot. Firing some shot, shot, shot. Coming in red, hot, 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 hot. It's a musical shot, shot, shot. I just clean up my nozzle. I just load me barrel and I cock me hammer, cause I gonna pull me trigger. Hot, hot, hot. Firing some shot, shot, shot. Coming in red. Hot, 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 hot. Firing them shot, 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 shot.
Peter Tosh on this Thursday morning. Peter Tosh, born on this date in 1944. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 852 right now. We've got 49 degrees in Hayward and 51 degrees in La Crosse. And we were just talking about the former president, Donald Trump, and I came across an interesting opinion piece in the Shepherd Express by Joel McNally. And I wanted to give you some of this because it's an interesting angle. The headline from the McNally piece at the Shepherd says Trump judges aren't going to save Trump. You know, he appointed more judges in his 4-year term than I think any president had before him, but it doesn't seem to be helping him. I'll give you a little bit of this piece. It says for 4 years, Donald Trump and Senate leader Mitch McConnell appointed extreme right-wing judges as fast as they could to federal courts and appeals courts and created a supermajority on the U.S. Supreme Court. A fat lot of good that's doing Trump now, with major federal and state trials already underway against Trump and his criminally indicted co-conspirators for their violent insurrection to overthrow President Biden's election, not a single one of those judges has lifted a gavel to protect Trump. Trump, his closest advisors, and strongest supporters are being treated like common criminals in the courts because they are. That's not just coming from Trump-hating judges, Trump's term for any judge he didn't appoint. The crimes America watched on January 6th, 2021, and on video later were so horrific, injuring 140 police officers, including many with brain damage from savage beatings and sending Republicans and Democrats in the House and Senate fleeing for their lives, few judges want to permanently destroy their legal reputations by defending the indefensible. Federal and state prosecutors are required to prove their criminal indictments in a court of law beyond a reasonable doubt, but anyone who expects even today's trumped-up Supreme Court to prevent those behind the most violent attempt to overthrow American democracy since the Civil War from being brought to justice is living in Trump's fantasy world. Most Republicans appointed as federal judges have built their reputations as conservative advocates of law and order by handing down harsh sentences to those convicted of violent crimes. There's never been any exception for violent crimes committed in support of a Republican president who lost an election. Few Americans have even heard the name of Trump-appointed D.C. federal judge Timothy Kelly, but it was Kelly who sentenced the leaders of the Proud Boys to 2 decades in prison. They were the longest sentences for the violent supporters, answering Trump's call to fight like hell to stop Congress from certifying Joe Biden's election. And Kelly's 22-year sentence for Proud Boys chairman Enrique Tarrio was only 4 years longer than the 18-year sentence for Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes, issued by D.C. Judge Amit Mehta, appointed by President Obama. Unlike Republican politicians, judges appointed by Republicans agree with judges appointed by Democrats. Those convicted of attempting to violently overthrow democracy deserve long prison sentences. That has immediately raised the potential legal consequences for Trump and his co-defendants in their upcoming trials before judges in Washington and Atlanta, Georgia. Judges base their sentencing on the punishment others have received when convicted for the same crimes. Both judges, Kelly and Mehta, cited actions by Tarrio and Rhodes on January 6th that are identical to those attributed to Trump in his indictment. Kelly said Tarrio, quote, was the ultimate leader, the ultimate person who organized, who was motivated by revolutionary zeal and had an outsized impact on the events of the day. The other judge, Mehta, told Rhodes, Stuart Rhodes, you, sir, present an ongoing threat and a peril to this country, to the republic, and the very fabric of our democracy. He said Rhodes continued to spread false claims about election fraud and violent rhetoric while awaiting trial, and would become a danger to democracy again, quote, the moment you are released. Trump's creation of the Proud Boys as the tip of the spear breaking into the Capitol, allowing Trump's riotous mob inside to disrupt a joint session of Congress, was televised in advance. It originated during Trump's most obnoxious presidential debate in September 2020, when he repeatedly shouted over both Biden and then Fox News moderator Chris Wallace. And that's where we got to end it. Got a break coming up. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
Bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events. Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players.
We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at Interscholastic Athletic Events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.